Thank you for the opportunity to speak in the presence of many senior devotees, especially Ramnath Sukhaprabhu. Very happy to see you again. He's a regular visitor to the manor and at Soho. One question, can I get a Majjalila volume 1? Because I've got volume 3 here, so. Or if someone has it on their phone, maybe I can do it. But I don't have the Veda base on my phone, so. So this is an interesting chapter. It's the chapter where Mahaprabhu takes sannyas and he's traveling. In his madness, he sees everything as Vrindavan, and Nityananda Prabhu helps him do that. He has a little trick to make him think that he's in Vrindavan. He tells the children in Shantipur, oh, if he asks, where is Vrindavan, where is Yamuna, you point him to the Ganges. So the children obliged, and as a result, Mahaprabhu goes swimming in the Ganges thinking it is the Yamuna. Now it is the Yamuna, from the point of view that the Yamuna and the Ganges, they meet Prayag. And as the river flows down, the western side is actually Yamuna water. The eastern side is Ganges water. So Mahaprabhu was bathing in the western side, so it was actually correct. But it's correct from another point of view. As Advaitacharya, see the trick, Mahaprabhu, he realized something was not quite right when he saw Advaitacharya. He said, why is Advaitacharya in Vrindavan? And he realizes he's been tricked. And Advaitacharya says, Tumi Jahan, Se Vrindavan, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So hopefully we'll talk more about that later, because this is, for me, that is the, it's a very interesting part of our philosophy, how the purified mind is identical with Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains this. So, we'll do text 64 to 66, and which has got two purports. Chapter 3, yes. There's a short purport to text 64, and then what's written on the board is 66, so I will read 64 and 65. Advaitacharya took Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the room, and the two lords saw the arrangement of the prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was especially very much pleased. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased because he saw how nicely so many varieties of food were prepared for Krishna. Actually, all kinds of prasad are prepared for Krishna, not for the people, but the devotees partake of prasad with great pleasure. Text 65. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of all the methods employed in cooking and offering food to Krishna. Indeed, he was so pleased that he said frankly, I will personally take the lotus feet of anyone who can offer Krishna such nice food and place those lotus feet on my head, birth after birth. So now the verse on the board. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the room, he saw three divisions of food, and he knew that all of these were meant for Krishna. However, he did not understand the intentions of Advaita Acharya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that one of these servings was offered in a metal dish that was meant for Krishna, whereas the other two were placed on big banana leaves. The offering on the metal plate was personally offered by Advaita Acharya to Krishna. The other two servings on banana leaves were to be accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. That was Advaita Acharya's intention, but he did not disclose this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the foodstuff offered in three places, he thought that all of it was meant for Krishna. Prabhu janitina boga krishnara naiveja achaya ramana kata nahi prabhu raveja. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the room, he saw three divisions of food, and he knew that all of these were meant for Krishna. However, he did not understand the intentions of Advaita Acharya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parachana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vichangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Trupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I will continue with what I was starting with. Vrindavan consciousness. When Mahaprabhu was dancing in Ratha Yatra, he said in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Anyara ridoya mana mora mana Vrindavan mani vani ekakori jani. For others, their mind is their heart, but my mind is Vrindavan. Vrindavan and my mind are one. This is an interesting point about philosophy. How can the mind be Vrindavan? We think of Vrindavan as a geographical area. The mind is Vrindavan. So what it means is when the mind becomes purified, everything becomes Vrindavan. Now there's the pastime when Radharani meets Krishna at Kurukshetra. And there's a whole discussion. Mahaprabhu, when he came and he enacted his pastimes, he very much became absorbed in the mood that Radharani had when she was feeling separation from Krishna when they met at Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. So he was actually chanting it was considered at the time just to be a mundane song, Ya Kaumara Hara song. But Mahaprabhu, when he heard this song, which for the people was just a mundane love story, it had specific meaning for him. It was the meaning that Radharani was feeling when she's there in front of Krishna at Kurukshetra, but there's something missing. So what's missing? Vrindavan, yeah. Say Krishna, say Bhav, say Vrindavan. This is Krishna, this is the mood, but this is Vrindavan. She wants Krishna to be back in Vrindavan. So now Rupa Goswami, who's of course our acharya, he understood what Mahaprabhu was thinking when he was reciting this Ya Kaumara Hara verse. And he then composed his own verse. Ya Priyo, yeah. Priyaso yam Krishna Sarachari Kurukshetra Militas Tataham Sarada Tadidam Ubayor Sangama Sukam Tatapyanta Kelan Madhuram Madhura Murali Panchamajusi Manome Kalindi Pulina Vipinaya Spri Hayate. He understood, so he translated this love song into a more recognizable form that we could understand. And of course Mahaprabhu was amazed how he had the Shakti to do this. But actually, Mahaprabhu gave him the Shakti to do this. Swarup Damodar was like, wow. Swarup Damodar knew the meaning of this verse, but no one else did. So when Rupa Goswami wrote it, and he put it in the thatch, cottage, the roof of the cottage, then Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar are like, wow, this is amazing. Swarup Damodar could understand. Rupa Goswami is empowered. So what is the meaning of this verse? It means Radharani is thinking, you know, I am the same Radha, you're the same Krishna, and we're meeting at Kurukshetra. However, my desire is to take you to Vrindavan, and we can be together on the bank of the Yamuna, and I can hear the sound of the flute, the fifth note of the flute of Krishna. So this is Vrindavan consciousness. And Mahaprabhu is already in this consciousness, so it doesn't take much. It takes a little trick from Nityananda to make him think that the Ganges is actually the Yamuna. So when I was reflecting on this, a certain verse from Narottam Das Thakur took special meaning to me. It's the verse, Vishaya Chariya Kabi Shuddha Hobi Mana Kabi Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavan. When will I, giving up sense gratification, have a purified mind, and then I will be able to behold Vrindavan? So that's the connection. The connection is, when the mind becomes purified, we actually experience Vrindavan. So Vrindavan consciousness is a state of purified consciousness. So I was mentioning this verse before, Anyare Ridoya Mana Mora Mana Vrindavan Mani Vani Ekakori Jani. For others, their mind is the heart, but for Radharani, the mind is Vrindavan. And she says, Mana, which means mind, and Vana, forest, Eka Kori Jani, they are one. Now in the purport, Prabhupada explains, he says, for one who's got the purified mind, their mind is like Vrindavan. And later on in the purport, he says, the mind is identical with Vrindavan. So that's one of the lessons we can learn from this chapter. Our goal is to become, you know, purified in our consciousness so that actually we experienced Vrindavan everywhere. It said, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirta Bhuta Svayam Vibho Tirti Kuvanti Tirtani Svantastena Gata Brita. That for the purified sadhus, they are walking places of pilgrimage. So wherever they are, that is a place of pilgrimage. They purify wherever they walk. Why? Because they're carrying Vrindavan in their hearts. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Tirtha Yatra Parishram Kevala Manera Brahm. He's mocking us if we are not pure. He says, your visit to the holy place is just a mental concoction. That's what he's saying. What does he mean by that? What he means is, if we visit the holy place and our consciousness is material, then it's just, we're just walking, we're just on the chariot of the mind. Mano ratenasati davato bahi. We just ride the chariot of the mind. Our whole material existence is a mental concoction, and we're just following the whims of our mind. But when we become purified, then that is, and then we visit the holy places with purified consciousness, then that is real Tirtha Yatra, real Parikram. So in other words, what Narottam Das Thakur is saying, he's saying you can have Vrindavan consciousness anywhere you like. If you're pure, you will have that consciousness. But if you're not pure and you visit the holy place, then you'll be on the chariot of your mind. It's just an illusion. Of course, that doesn't mean we don't go. Of course, we go there for the purpose of purification. But it's recommended, especially if you go to Vrindavan Dam, that you stay for as long as you're fixed up. And if you start wandering off in another direction, then you should leave. You shouldn't stay. That is why it's recommended that we stay in Navadvip Dam. Navadvip Dam, even if you are not having the best consciousness, still, at least the offences will not be so seriously taken because of the mercy of Gaura Nitai. That is the lesson that we should learn. So if you're not fixed up, consider going to Navadvip Dam. And it's said there that even when you sleep, you make spiritual advancement. It's like you're offering dandavats. So you can be unconscious making spiritual advancement. So let me talk about the particular pastime that we're discussing here. So it said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yachrinvatam Rasagyanam Svadu Svadu Pade Pade. We hear these pastimes over and over again because they're full of rasa. So I cannot extract the rasa, but I had a few little thoughts in connection with this pastime. There's some funny things going on. It's actually described in the beginning, the chapter summary, that this is a humorous pastime. We have Advaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, and Mahaprabhu, and they're all together, and it's a very humorous pastime. We learn this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he's written a commentary. So what's the name of his commentary? This actually commentary is mentioned many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because generally what Srila Prabhupada does, maybe every chapter, I don't know, he summarizes and he says, here is the summary given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary known as, anyone know? Yes, Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. So Bhasya means a commentary. Amrita means nectar. Pravaha means a flow of nectar. So like within the heart, the oceanic heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a flow of nectar. Remember, he was searching for years for this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just see how fortunate we are. We should be building upon what he has given us. We have this book, and we should be distributing. Actually, Kirpamoy Prabhu, he's very eager to distribute the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So recently he was asking me, do we have any? Can we get hold of some, you know? So it is printed, but we not have so many of them. So it was the mood when Prabhupada was here to distribute the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the fifth or seventh chapter of the Adi Lila, the Panchatattva, the description of the Panchatattva, that one chapter was printed and distributed profusely. And it's very high topic, so it's kind of interesting what were the devotees were thinking. What would the public think? This very abstruse philosophy, but it was full of nectar, and they understood that just if you even touch this book, you make spiritual advancement. So anyway, in the Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, it is said this is a humorous exchange. So what's happening here? Well, if you were listening, if you remember what the purport was about and the verses. So Advaitacharya, he's seeing Nityananda and Chaitanya. He's seen them as Vishnu, they're Vishnu Tattva, and then Krishna. So he's doing an offering to Krishna, but he wants them to sit down and take the offering as well. So he's seen them as all on the platform of being Vishnu Tattva. Of course, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyana. Radha Krishna combined is Lord Chaitanya. Now, this is a very central part of our philosophy. And in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the statement, Na Krishna Chaitanyaj Jagati Paratattvam Paramiha. That is, there is no higher truth. There's no, the Paratattva, the highest truth, there's no higher truth than to know that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna, and they are Swayam Bhagavan. It's a very central part of our philosophy. It's what it distinguishes the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You know, if you go to India, Krishna's famous. Lord Chaitanya, not so well known. He's not that well known. So, but this teaching, you know, we can't rely on Lord Chaitanya to give us this teaching. Why not? It's not his mood, right? Apani karimu bhaktabhava angikari, apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabari. He said, I will come in the mood of a devotee. It's bhakta bhava angikari, means he's embracing the mood of a devotee. Apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabari. I will teach others by my example. So the most effective way to teach is to teach by example. And especially in this world, if you try and teach anything to anyone, the tendency is they will dissect you if you're hypocritical. And they'll say, yeah, you're saying that, but you're doing that. For example, the public used to criticize the devotees. They said, you're telling us to give up driving around in cars, follow a simple way of life, which incidentally is exactly the main crisis we have, which is all over the media. We've got an environmental crisis. It is so relevant to the lifestyle that we Hare Krishnas are promoting. So we should be jumping on the bandwagon of groups like Extinction Rebellion and getting our message out that actually, you're right, we need to have a completely different change of lifestyle. And Prabhupada was saying it, was it 40 years ago, this demonic civilization. He was criticizing the factories, the Industrial Revolution, And a lot of people who are very interested in technology and material advancement, they kind of mock this. They think this is primitive. This is advancement. Prabhupada called the scientists vultures. Vultures fly very high in the sky, but their business is to look for the dead flesh. So they're very high, but their business is very low. They've got very good eyesight. So the scientists, very advanced in their realm of knowledge, science, technology, industry, industrial revolution, it's all very advanced, but the business is so low. That's why we see the results. The result is we have an environmental crisis. So our message should be going out. Prabhupada said we should be protesting. We should protest this demonic civilization. We have a strong message, and we have to give it. We have to not be afraid. As I mentioned before, one of our ex-temple president, Akhandadi Prabhu, he is a criminal. He has a criminal record. What did he do? Civil disobedience. They were trying to close down Bhaktivedanta Manor, big group of them outside the Houses of Parliament, sit-down protest in the middle of the street. And just what happened? The politician decided, actually, we'll keep Bhaktivedanta Manor open. Because protest often works. Anyway, we were discussing the lifestyle. I digressed. Why was I talking about that? Did anyone remember? Bring me back on track. Anyway, I was talking about why is it that Lord Chaitanya didn't explain who he was? And the answer was because he's in the mood of a devotee. And then I explained that the best way to teach is through example. So now I was going to give this example. Now I'll get back to the example. So sometimes devotees are criticized. Oh, you drive around in cars. You're telling us we should use bullock cart, camels, elephants. Prabhupada said these are the proper means of transport, and the use of automobiles, that is a false way of living, and it will end. He's actually predicted it will end. This whole civilization will end. So the public, they say, you drive around in a car. So I heard a very nice answer. The answer was, if you're speeding, the policeman catches you and stops you, can you say to the policeman, but you were speeding too? No, you can't, because it's the policeman's job. So as devotees, our job is to teach people to change the way they live. And in doing so, if it's helpful for us to use modern technology and cars, etc., to do that, then we will do so. We really only have two business. If we're going to be in the city, it is to preach. And if we're not going to preach, then we shouldn't be in the city. We should be self-sufficient farming communities, giving that example that we need to give. And if we preach without that example, then people will call us hypocrites, basically. So Mahaprabhu, he is the example. Therefore, he's not going to teach this higher truth. But our acharyas, their mood is to teach everyone that Lord Chaitanya is none other than Krishna himself. Okay, so Advaita Acharya, that is his mood. So there's a kind of humorous exchange, humorous pastime. It's actually not just one pastime. This is just part of it. There's another example I'll explain in a minute of how Advaita Acharya, his mood is to see Lord Chaitanya as his master, whereas Lord Chaitanya's mood is to see Advaita Acharya as his senior. So there's now a competition going on here. How will they interact? And it's very difficult for Advaita Acharya to get Lord Chaitanya to give up his mood of being the devotee who sees Advaita Acharya as senior. So what does he do? He has a trick. Who knows? What is the trick? What does Advaita Acharya do to break that mood of Lord Chaitanya? Yes, he preaches Mayavad. So this from the scripture Yoga Vashishta, Advaita Acharya was preaching. And he was preaching that Gyan is higher than bhakti. That was his message. Now, we've been talking about teaching by example. So Advaita Acharya is known as an acharya. Why is he called the acharya? There's an actual reason. Shown by example, yeah. But what does he do, though? What does he do that makes him get called acharya? Acharyam bhakti shanshanat. This is it. If you look at the mantra for Advaita Acharya, Advaitam Harinadvaitad Acharyam Bhakti Shangshanat. He's known as Advaita because he's non-different from Krishna, and he's known as the Acharya because he preaches. Bhakti Shangshanat means because he's preacher. The Acharya preaches. There's two aspects to being an Acharya. He practices and he preaches. There's one purport, Prabhupada explains this, the symptom of the Acharya. Very relevant today. If you want to know who's an Acharya, is that person preaching? There's your yardstick. And if they're not preaching, they're a false Acharya. Someone will think they're an Acharya. They'll have a group of followers who think they are Acharyas. It's worse than that. Prabhupada used to say, on every street corner, you'll find Bhagavan, someone who says, they are God, I'm Narayan. All this false propaganda. You want to know a real Acharya? Someone who preaches. Prabhupada's, to his last breath, his heart was in his book distribution, wasn't it? He's like skin and bone, well, his body is. And he's asking, he's enlivened. He stays on the planet when he hears the book scores, you know. So-and-so has distributed so many Bhagavatams. And he's like, that was his life. And that was to his, that was till the very end, you see. Some people were thinking, he'll change, you know. You know, when it gets close to death, people change sometimes, right? We find out what they're really thinking. But for Prabhupada, there was no change. What he gave us throughout his Leela of manifesting ISKCON, that was the same as till the very end. He didn't change. That was because he was what he was, beyond birth and death. If you're not beyond birth and death, you can expect to transform. Your consciousness will transform at the time of death. You'll drop the facade and your real thoughts will come out. But for an Acharya, sober-minded Acharya like Srila Prabhupada, no. What he gave us, what we saw when he was healthy is the same as what we saw when he was on his last breath almost, you know. So Advaita Acharya, he was teaching, Gyan is higher than Bhakti. What is the use of devotion if you have no knowledge? And he managed, it angered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that he dropped his mood of seeing Advaita Acharya as his senior. And he, wait for it, this is true, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He actually grabbed Advaita Acharya, pulled him off the Vyasasana, and started beating him. It's there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And the wife of Advaita Acharya, Sita Thakurani, she understood what was going on, but she played along. And she said, stop, stop, he's an old man. If you beat him, you might kill him. So in his anger, actually, Mahaprabhu lost consciousness, it's explained, in his rage. He so much hated this propagation of impersonal philosophy. And he adopted the mood of Krishna. He said, it was I who killed Kamsa. You know, I cheated Bali, you know, as Vamanadev. You know, I killed Hiranyakashipu. And so he's going through all the various avatars, you know, Shuklo Raktastata Pita, Idanam Krishna Tamgataha, as Garga Muni said. This child, you know, Mahaprabhu, this child was white, you know. He was, no, actually it wasn't Mahaprabhu, it was Krishna, Gargamuni. This child was white, he was red, he was yellow in previous incarnations. Of course, in a previous Divya Yuga. Normally the Yuga avatar in Kali Yuga is actually also blackish in complexion. But in once in a day of Lord Brahma, The Kali Yuga avatar is golden in complexion. So we're very fortunate that we're in this particular Yuga. So Garga Muni is referring, Pita. Pita means yellow. Where is the yellow complexion? That is referring to Mahaprabhu when he comes in his golden form, you see? Or Krishna comes in his golden form as Mahaprabhu. So Shuklo Raktashtata Pita, Idanam Krishna Tam Gadaha. But now you have taken the form of Krishna. So Garga Muni, he's saying, I know these things other people do not know. The very privileged position of an astrologer, you can see these extra things. He's amazed at the astrology of this child, you know. So Advaita Acharya, his mood is, let us see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mood as Krishna. And so he was in bliss when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving his transcendental rant and explaining, I am Krishna, and I will chastise you. After all, he's only Mahavishnu, right? Advaita Acharya, you're just Mahavishnu. He's doing this. He's the master. Of course, this was very, very pleasing to Advaita Acharya. And we see a hint of it in this particular pastime, which is why I brought it up. Because Advaita Acharya, he's not going to facilitate the mood of Mahaprabhu as the devotee. He's not going to treat him as the devotee. He's going to lay out three plates, and these plates, as interesting, how does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati know these things? He says one of the plates was metal and two were banana leaves. A little extra detail our acharyas can provide. You know, it's amazing how they can enter into these pastimes. I was given the pastime to my wife yesterday, and then she asked the question which I couldn't answer. She said, so if Advaita Acharya is seeing all of the three of them as Vishnu, why not have three metal plates? Why is it that two are banana leaves? It's like you're treating them like a devotee. So there's something going on here. It's deliberately ambiguous, I think. He's like, generally, the metal plate would be for Krishna, then for the devotees afterwards, they would take from a banana leaf plate. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu, he's thinking, because as we said, his mood is the mood of a devotee. He's thinking, he's not thinking, oh, this is for me as Krishna. I'm Krishna, therefore I will take. And Nityananda's, it's Tanghara Dvitiya Deha, Sri Balaram. Balaram is said to be the Dvitiya Deha of Mahaprabhu, the second body. So he's none other than Balaram. And also it said, Bhakta Abhimana Mula, Sri Balaram. The root of the mood of being a devotee is Sri Balaram. So we're all devotees, that is our mood. And even the Vishnu avatars, they're all devotees. Ekale Ishvara Krishnahar Sabhabritcha Jari Jaitshi Nachaya Sitaitshi Korin Richa. There is only one Ishvara, Ekale Ishvara, and that's Krishna. And then our Sabhabritcha, all our servants. And that includes Advaita Acharya, that includes Lord Nityananda. They're all servants. Their mood is, we are servants. You know, servants of Krishna, servants of Mahaprabhu. They are one and the same, so it does not matter. And Jari Jaitshi Nachaya Sitaitshi Korin Richa. They dance as Mahaprabhu or as Krishna makes them dance. So that's the power. They're controlled by a power, and that power is the bhakti abhiman, the mood of being the devotee. And Mahaprabhu, he's controlled as well. Because he's taken the mood of Radharani, that's what's controlling him. And Krishna's controlled by that same mood. Krishna's guru is Srimati Radharani. You know, so it's not that Bhagavan in his Swayam Bhagavan form, it's not that he is free from being controlled. Aham Bhakta Paradino Yasva Tantariva Dvija Sadubir Grasta Hridayo Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. Duvasamuni is being given a lesson by Vishnu, actually. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradino, I am subservient to my devotees. Yasva Tantariva Dvija. Completely independent. I'm actually under their control. Sadubir Grasta Hridayo, because they've captured my heart. Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. Not only the devotee, but the devotee of the devotee has captured my heart. In fact, service to the devotee is higher than even service to Krishna. So the Lord, he's bound. Sadavo Hridayam Mahyam Sadunam Hridayam Tvaham. You know, the sadhus are my heart and I am their heart. So who can understand the heart of the sadhu? We cannot possibly understand that. Which is why we must be very, very careful in our dealings with devotees, because there may be depths to the devotee's heart that we are not aware of, and we see them with material consciousness. Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Yashavana Raki Saha. If you see the Vaishnav according to birth, you're already a resident of hell. And that statement, which is from the Padma Purana, has a broad meaning. It doesn't just mean what caste does that person come from? Because actually in Kali Yuga, the caste has almost disappeared. Everyone's just Shudra. Hard to find a Brahmin caste, a Kshatriya caste, you know, hard to find. But it has a broader meaning. It just means to see with material vision. To assume a material motive to the activity of a Vaishnav. That is a grave offence. And Yasyavana Rikisaha, your Bhakti Lata Bij will be destroyed if you go down that path. So we have to be very careful in how we deal with devotees. I know I'm not a good example of this. I have so many thoughts, and they're off. And if you have an off thought, at least you don't express it. You're safe. But if you actually verbalize it, then big trouble. you can find suddenly you lose your taste and you start looking at the devotee community from the outside, criticizing and seeing things that actually don't exist, not actually appreciating everyone's endeavor. If you get to know devotees, most devotees I meet, so if you get to know them, actually they're hurting inside because they want the movement to spread and it's not spreading as much as they like. And they're actually hurting inside. And some of them, they're, you know, we have a tendency to blame other people. You know, it's that group of devotees. They're the ones that could make it spread, but they're not. And then we have all these different groups, different factions. But actually, if you get to know people from every side, everyone with every different service, you'll find they're actually sincere. And we don't always notice. There's a lot more sincerity in this movement than people realize. And it's very dangerous to give a different meaning. So many people are thinking, well, I'm sincere. I know what should be done, but it's the fault is with these other people. You know, they should be helping. They should be doing this. You know, I'm doing my best, but they're not doing their best. No, they're also doing their best. We have to understand that. And sometimes it takes the form of criticism of management, you know. But then when you find, you know, if you're actually in the management position yourself, it's a different story. You actually discover something else. You discover I'm trying so hard and people aren't reciprocating with me. I need help as well, you know. We're all trying our best, you know. So we keep that attitude. That's a very nice attitude to have. So anyway, so then the pastime is Mahaprabhu, he's thinking, oh, we'll have the remnants after these three plates are offered to Krishna. But then Advaitacharya, he changes it all and he says, no, you all sit down, one plate for you, one plate for you, one plate for Krishna. And he says, I will distribute. Another misunderstanding. What does it mean, I will distribute? Mahaprabhu's thinking, oh, we'll distribute the prasad from these plates to the public. You know, he's thinking this way. All right. But actually, what Advaitacharya is saying, I will distribute the prasad to you. In other words, you sit down, you're my lords, I will feed you. I will, you know, this is the loving symptom, you know. Dadati pratigrinati, guhya makhyati prichati, bhunkti bojayati chaiva, sadvidam priti lakshanam. This is a very, very important verse from Ishvapanasad. Is it Ishvapanasad? Nectar of Instruction, sorry. So, it's actually interesting. I'm going to talk about this verse because it has universal applicability. So the verse means to give, to receive, to reveal your mind in confidence and to inquire confidentially, to feed and to take food from devotees. These are the six loving exchanges. And we all have, at least not all of us, some of us have a problem. And our problem is this. We like to be fed, but we don't like to feed others. We're happy to go to someone's house and take prasadam, but we're not so happy to clean our house, you know, get rid of all the stuff we don't want other people to see. I'll hide my DVD collection in the cupboard under a locked door. I'll put a little cover over my flat screen television here, which I use to watch sport when no one's looking, and I will feed the Vaishnavs. I'll bring the altar out. It was just in the corner gathering dust. I'll bring it out and create a nice environment. But actually, those who know how to do this and who surrender to this, they actually love doing it. And it's like, you can do it on a little scale. You want to train yourself up. You can serve prasadam at Bhaktivedanta Manor, because after this class, you know, we'll all queue up for prasadam, but some of us will be serving others. So that's a nice thing to do. So when those who serve others, you'll find they're very attached to their position as a servant, and they like it because they enjoy serving prasadam. And the same with those who take the trouble to cook, offer to Krishna, invite the sadhus round and feed them, you see. And it can be an austerity because you can't please all the people all the time. And sometimes some devotees complain, it's too salty, and some say it's not salty enough. Actually, this is what happened in this pastime. I said it's a humorous pastime. What does Mahaprabhu do? He starts criticizing Advaitacharya. Why are you giving so much food? You know, I'm a sannyasi. I'm supposed to eat simply. Of course, he's not eating for 3 days, but that is his mood. And Nityananda, he's got the opposite mood. He's like, what is this? You've not cooked enough. This isn't a proper feast. I've been fasting for 3 days. So what can he do? You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But actually, this is all just a leela. And in anger, Lord Nityananda, he throws some rice in the ground and it bounces off the ground and it hits Advaitacharya on the leg. And he starts dancing in ecstasy. Why does he dance? It's the great power of Mahaprasadam, you know. So it said, Bhakta Padaduliar Bhakta Padajal Bhakti Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. There are three substances very, very potent. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnav, the water that has washed his feet, and the remnants of his foodstuff. See, so when Advaitacharya, of course, this is not the Bhakta, it's the Lord himself, but it's the same principle. When Advaitacharya is, the rice hits the leg of Advaitacharya, that rice has come from Lord Nityananda, he's thinking, no, well actually he is a devotee, right? Nityananda is, he's, remember I said, Bhakta Abhimana Mula Sri Balaram, he's a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh, Tina Mahabal, the remnants of the foodstuff of Lord Nityananda, so powerful. And so Advaitacharya is in ecstasy and he's dancing just because he's been touched by that wonderful substance. Now I was reflecting about the culture and also reflecting about Srila Prabhupada's attitude towards Mahaprasadam. See, one of the things we can learn from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the importance of prasadam. Not only the importance of serving others, the importance of prasadam as a very potent foodstuff. So here's a little pastime, a little story from Malati Prabhu. So she, one time, there was an assembly, there was a gathering, and then there was an altar, and there was an apple being offered. Apple was being offered on the altar. Then a member of the public had to leave the assembly, and Prabhupada said, give the apple to that person. Now, Prabhupada's mood was always, don't let anyone leave unless they take prasadam. One time at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Harisari Prabhu took his mother, and then Prabhupada asked later on, how was the visit? Did she get prasad? And Harisari Prabhu said, no, she didn't get prasad, that wasn't available. And Prabhupada said, what was the point? That was his attitude. So he would send his disciples running after people, giving them prasadam. And there's many humorous pastimes in this connection. There was one time there was a gentleman with a suit and he wanted to leave. And then Srila Prabhupada said, take a gulab before you go. And this man, he's got a nice suit on and he looks at this gulab dripping with ghee, with sugar. And he's like, but Prabhupada wouldn't let him go. So he put the gulab in his hand. Then he ate the gulab and it starts dripping down his chin and it's going down on his shirt. And then the disciples of Prabhupada, they're all laughing away. This is really humorous pastime. And the man, he had to laugh as well. I mean, it was so hilarious. And he gives him another gulab. So this is Prabhupada. There wasn't any question of not accepting prasad, even if it meant you're going to get sticky fingers and a sticky shirt, you know. So that was his mood. So this example, Malati Prabhu explains that the apple had not actually been offered. It had just been put on the altar, and the devotee was starting to offer. So Prabhupada afterwards said, actually, just when you place the apple on the altar, it's already offered. You know, we do the mantras, that is for our purification. It's already offered, it's already prasad. But so the two lessons we learn. First is that, you know, that the mantras are for our benefit, our purification. It's not that we have to get the mantras right before it's actually accepted by the Lord. And the other point is, no one should leave without getting prasadam. So this is, you know, it said, Ma prasadi govinde nama brahmani vaishnavi swapapunya vatam rajam vishva shonai vajayati. Vishvasa means faith. Faith will not arise in someone who has insufficient spiritual security. You know, it said, Bhaktistu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate satsanga prapitir pumbir sukritayar purva sanchitai. When we get a stock of spiritual sukriti, then we will get sadhusanga. And from that sadhusanga, we will get bhakti. So this is the point. So the reason I'm bringing up this verse, Mahaprasadi Govinde, is Srila Prabhupada is distinguished in his deep, deep faith for these four things. What four things? Mahaprasad, Govinda, Nama Brahma. Brahma Brahma means the holy name. It's Shabda Brahma, Nama Brahmani, and then Vaishnav, the Vaishnav. Now, if you look at how Prabhupada started the society, what did he do? Mahaprasadam. He wouldn't let anyone leave his association without getting Mahaprasad. So who has that much faith in Mahaprasad that they think that person's life depends on it? We're very lackadaisical now. In fact, we almost tend to not give out prasad. We think, let's not give it out because we're not making any profit from it. Let's sell it. If we give out too much free prasad, we won't be able to sell it. No, we have to, good to sell prasad. Prabhupada said we should do it. But also, everyone who comes to Bhaktivedanta Manor should not leave on an empty stomach. They should at least get a little bit of prasad. So we have a reception. We have a little, sometimes it's coconut sweets, or it's laddus, or it's nuts and raisins. We should make sure that no one leaves without getting prasad. That is hospitality, and that is for spiritual advancement. So that's Mahaprasad. Prabhupada had this deep faith, so much so. Next one, Nama Brahmani, the holy name. What was he saying when he came off the boat? He's like, you know, I have been given this title, Bhaktivedanta. I have no Bhakti, I have no Vedanta. But what I have deep faith in the holy name. That's what Prabhupada used to start this movement. And he sat in Tompkins Square by himself, one man, Harinam, sit down, Harinam, and the whole Hare Krishna movement grew from that. Why? Faith in the holy name. And faith in the Vaishnav. Govinda, faith in Govinda. What's he doing? Everywhere he's traveling around the world, he's establishing temples. So now we have the Murti, we have the Govinda Murti in all the major cities of the world, because he had deep faith in Govinda and the power of just beholding the form of Govinda, how it purifies the consciousness. Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, and the Vaishnav. So if you ask devotees from Prabhupada's time, the etiquette, devotees were offering obeisances to each other all the time. We've become a bit lackadaisical. We don't see each other as devotees so much. We just see a little bit material consciousness crept in there. We're not so respectful. Prabhupada had so much respect for the Vaishnav that he taught us always offer obeisances to the Vaishnav. And one time, someone asked Prabhupada, what about the sannyasis? Do we offer obeisances every time we see them? We see them so many times a day. Prabhupada's like, why not? No. Every time you see a sannyasi, offer your obeisances. You know, that was the standard when Prabhupada was here. So he had that deep faith. And what does that indicate? Svalpa punya vatamarajan vishvashona vijayati. If your punya is not sufficient, you will not have it. So the point I want to make is that which we has become associated with the taking of prasadam, right? This is like a prasad mantra, but actually it has a broader meaning. The point I want to make is how much vishvas, how much faith do we really have? It's actually a sliding scale. Theoretically, we know, yes, we have faith. We know the Vaishnavas are great, but we still criticize them, right? So what does it mean, right? So we know, but do we really know? And that's the point. Prabhupada, he really knew, he really felt it from the depth of his heart. He really lived this process. And that's the indication of the alpa, not the alpa punya, but the brihat punya, the great punya, the spiritual shakti that Srila Prabhupada had, that he can actually live what we theoretically live. He could practically live it. And that's a very important instruction. And we're going to finish at 9 o'clock. So thank you for your time. I'm going to conclude with one little story about the power of prasadam. And it's the story of Kalidas. He's in the Anchalila. Now, you know, before I mention the actual prasad story, we've been talking about acharyas today. And acharyas teach by example. But we understand in the lila, our acharyas are sometimes not showing the example that we should follow. So Prabhupada had a little interesting phrase. He talked about imitation as anukarana, copying someone. And he talked about following in the footsteps as anusharana. Sharana means to take shelter. So our proper process, you know, mahajano yenagata sapanta, we follow the mahajans. But to follow the mahajans does not mean to imitate them. It means to follow their mood, to follow their instructions, and to walk their path. Then, when we become advanced, then we maybe do things which are not the best example, out of ecstasy. So Mahaprabhu, he's sometimes not the best example. You know, he's running after a woman. He hears some woman chanting and he starts running after a woman, and his servant Govinda has to restrain him. But he's generally a good acharya. Lord Nityananda, he's the next level of madness above that. He's the avadut. He's not even pretending to follow any rules. He's sometimes walking around naked, right? We don't copy him, right? He's still an acharya. He's very rarely referred to as an acharya, but you will find occasionally he's known as an acharya. Advaita Acharya, he's a very good example. He's the Pakka Brahman, and he's following everything nicely. But even he is sometimes not following properly. And I gave the example. He's preaching that Gyan is higher than Bhakti. So that's a little lila. We shouldn't copy that. I mean, you can try if you want. Maybe there's some acharya, hidden acharya out there today. You know, some people say there's always one around. Maybe if you preach Gyan very vigorously, he might mercifully beat you over the head and you'll find out who he is. But don't bank on it. So even a Advaita Acharya, he's sometimes not an acharya as such. He's like having a lila. So we have to understand the two things are there side by side. And the main reason I mentioned this is because I'm going to talk about Kalidas. There's an interesting sub-story to Kalidas. Kalidas is a pure devotee, and he used to gamble. He used to roll the dice, and he'd be chanting Hare Krishna, gambling. So Srila Prabhupada says, do not follow this example, right? You can do almost anything in Krishna service. Anyway, so Kalidas, he's an example of someone who really understood the power of prasadam. Not just prasadam, maha prasadam. Not just maha prasadam, maha maha prasad. So what is maha maha prasad? There's actually a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the remnants from the pure devotee. Mahaprasad, remnants from Krishna. You offer to Krishna, it becomes Mahaprasad. But then if you then offer that to the devotee, and then you take that, which after the devotee, you take the devotee's remnants, that's Maha Mahaprasad. So Kalidas, who is actually the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. So his whole lila was, he's a very secretive person, he'd hide. He'd feed people, or he'd watch when Vaishnavas would take prasad. And then when they weren't looking, he'd go to the plate, the discarded plate, and he'd take the remnants and he'd partake of the remnants. And that was his particular way of performing devotional service, because he actually had that deep faith, you see. Now, that shouldn't be imitated, because, you know, when Bob Cohen, who became Brahmatirtha, he had liver problem. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, this is in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, he said, I have a health problem, so if I eat this prasadam, this is often cooked in ghee, it causes me problem. But I understand prasadam is absolute, so what should I do? It's absolute, I should honor it, but it's bad for my health. And Prabhupada said, no, you're not on the platform of seeing it as absolute, you shouldn't honor it. Now, Prahlad saw everything as prasad. So Hiranyakashipu can try and poison Prahlad. Prahlad will eat it and nothing will happen because he has on that platform. But if we're not on that platform, we'll get sick. So in the same way, you know, if you go around, I mean, you can do it in India, we have the leaf plates, they're freely available. If you go around taking remnants from all the leaf plates, from all the devotees, which is what Kalidas was doing, every Vaishnava in Bengal, he would make a point, I want to get the remnants of that person's food. If you do that and you're not on that platform, then you can expect yourself to get sick. Hare Krishna. Anyway, thank you for your time, comments and questions, and corrections.